Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today. And let's ask the Lord to help us as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity, Lord, just to take a few moments and draw our attention, Father, to your word. I do pray that you'd help us this morning, Lord. What we're about to try to accomplish cannot be accomplished by man's strength or intellect, and I don't have much of either, Lord. So we clearly need you, Lord, this day. God, help us. Illuminate your word in our hearts and our lives. Father, let the Holy Spirit of God take the message, take the word of God, Father, and bore itself into our hearts and our minds and our lives. And may Christ be found and seen in us. And may, Father, through our testimony, may the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted. Lord, help us to be an asset and not a liability. Thank you for this day and this opportunity. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in a series, Proverbs 17, verse number 17, a very familiar verse. What I'm trying to do at our church and also here on the radio broadcast is go through the book of Proverbs looking for biblical principles for practical living. Proverbs 17:17 is a very familiar verse. As a matter of fact, I know of some who have sort of claimed this is their life's verse. It says this: a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loveth at all times. You know, in our day and age, someone who has a friend is a very fortunate person. If you have a number of really good friends, you're extremely fortunate. But you know, more important than having a good friend is to be a good friend. And so this morning, as we look through this, I hope that our hearts would not be looking to see how many friends I have, but rather, am I this type of friend? A friend that indeed loves at all times. A true friend. Now, if you happen to have some that are like this, praise the Lord for that. Man, just embrace them and thank God for them. But are you and am I this kind of friend? A friend loveth at all times. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Someone says in your presence, I don't have very many friends. Perhaps you've said that. I don't have any friends. Or I don't have very many friends. You know, you just told on yourself. Or when you hear somebody saying that, they've just told on themselves. Because the Bible teaches us a man that hath friends must first, if you would, show himself friendly. And then upon his or her being friendly, they will have some friends as well. And so when a person says, I don't have any friends, or I don't have many friends, you know, God's trying to tell us that, you know, if we're going to have friends, we must first initiate the friendship. And this kind of friendship, a friend loveth at all times. In 1 Samuel 19:2, the Bible says, but Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in the secret place, and hide thyself. Here's a very familiar portion of Scripture, the relationship between Jonathan and David. Of course, we know that the relationship between Jonathan's father, Saul, King Saul, and David was not one that very many people would want. Matter of fact, anybody in the right mind wouldn't want that type of relationship. Saul kept trying to kill him. David hadn't done anything. David certainly acted the way that he should have acted, but Saul had not. And so Jonathan sort of stuck between the middle. This is his father, but yet this is his friend. And though he did not become disloyal to his father, he also maintained his friendship with David. A friend loveth at all times. Jonathan had decided to be David's friend. David had decided to be Jonathan's. Now, on David's side, he was trying to save his life fleeing from Saul. On Jonathan's side of it, he was trying to help David live through this thing. You know, he didn't pick sides. I'm going to go with Dad and, you know, and forget David. He didn't say, I'll go with David and forget Dad. He tried to be for both what he needed to be. But he didn't stop loving David as a friend just because his father was trying to kill him. And that's a friend that loveth at all times, even when another family member has ill will towards your friend, that doesn't mean you share that or embrace that idea. Your friend loveth at all times, not sometimes, not most of the times, but all times. Someone said this: a friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. Boy, you have to almost listen and hear that twice or three or four or five times to sort of get the idea. A friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. So you think the idea a friend cannot be known in prosperity, everything's going well, the friendship's going well, things are just clicking right along. Well, is that your friend? Well, maybe he is, maybe he's not. If you haven't been tested through adversity, you don't know if that person will stick with you or not. It is through adversity that our true friends are revealed to us. Often in adversity, we find out those who said they were our friends, those who we could only assume were pretending to be our friend, how quickly they abandon us in our adversity. But the true friend is there through the thick and the thin. So a friend cannot be known in prosperity because you haven't faced any trials. But in the adversity, an enemy cannot be hidden. In other words, he'll show up in adversity. He's going to be the guy that's against you. A friend in adversity will be born to you as a brother. Albert Barnes says it this way: some take the proverb to describe the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and uses the idea that at all times a friend loveth, but in adversity he is born, or he becomes like a brother. So a friend loves at all times, but it is through those periods of adversity, trials and tribulations and difficulties, that that friend is now proven himself to become a brother, or as close or like a family member. This would seem to suggest that that only through adversity then can we discover who are and who are really not our true friends. Those who prove to be a true friend then become as a family member. So, you know, as we go through difficulties, and there's a lot of reasons difficulties come into our lives, a true friend will be there through all of it, not just some of it. And may I say this, you know, we as fundamentalism, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, and I don't make any apologies for that at all. But I must say this, that within the fundamentalism movement, if you want to call it that, I tell you what, we need a good dose of this right here. We need a real good dose of this. We have a lot of times the fundamentalist, we fail, and we have a gross error in our camp where we want to shoot our fallen. We want to kick the guy that's down, rub his nose in his failure, kick him out off the bus, run over him with the bus, if you would. You know, I don't think that pleases God at all, and that's not what a true friend is. That's not what a true friend is. When the pack sort of gathers around the one who's fallen and begins to tear him up and just slaughter them. You know, God help us to not fall prey to this type of activity. It does not please God, and it never will please God. And it is a indication that that person knows nothing or very little about truly being a friend. You might be an independent Baptist, but if you attack those who have fallen, you're not much of a friend. You might still be an independent Baptist, but you're not much on knowing how to be a good friend. A friend loveth at all times. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, we call it love, but the Bible uses the word charity, and it gives us a true definition of what true Bible love is. And often days, what is called love is nothing like the Bible love at all. The Bible says charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity, though, won't do that. Charity, true love, true Bible love, doesn't vanish. It doesn't cease to be. It stays there. A friend loveth at all times. Matthew Henry says this, we must often consider what we are born for, not only as men, but as in such a station and relation. Who knows but that we came into a family for such a time as this? Now, that could be the actual family, your siblings, your biological family, but who knows that you didn't come into a church or into a person's life for such a time as this? You know, we do not answer the end of our relationships if we do not do the duty that God has called us to fulfill in that relationship. We don't give a good answer to the end of that. In other words, God places us out of the 7+ billion people in the world. There's a reason why you know who you know. There's a reason why God has brought them across your path. God wants you as a Christian to be a Bible friend to them. The rest of the 7 billion people that never have met them can't be their friend, but because you know them, you can be. And because you represent the Lord God Jehovah, you need to be that friend to those people God has brought across your path. It is your duty. It is my duty. It is all of God's people's duty to be a friend to those to whom God has given us a realm of influence. May God help us to be a good friend. A real friend loves his friend in prosperity and in adversity. Yet, he's even more of a friend in times of adversity than he is in times of prosperity. And it's in and through the adversity that that friend becomes to be known as a brother or like a brother. True friendship will be revealed through us or to us through the adversity. Now, there are some things that true friendship won't buckle under. For example, distance. You think about a friendship. Maybe you get to know somebody, then they move on or you move on, and you don't see each other very much. You don't get to fellowship very much, but that doesn't mean your friendship stops or ceases to be. You know, you still care, be it they across the street or across the block or across town or across the nation or across the world, wherever. In other words, distance doesn't keep a friend from loving at all times. Not only does distance not do anything for a true friendship, but a change of view. Or, if you would, a change of occupation. You know, you get to know somebody, and, you know, as the years go by, that person changes, just like we all change. We all change. Our thoughts change. Our emphasis change. Our priorities change. And the truth of the matter is, if you've known somebody for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they're probably not the same person they were when you got to know them. They've changed their ideas about some things. Maybe they've grown and become more like you think they should be, or maybe they have sort of gone the other way and they're not where you think they should be. But you know, a true friend still loves them regardless. A true friend doesn't allow change or a change of view or change of occupation or change of status. That friend, a true friend, doesn't let that stop them from being a friend. You know, perhaps that friend that you know is all of a sudden not as wealthy or not the well-do, and their status in life changes. They've been stricken in poverty, lost their job, and they don't have the means to be what they used to be in your life. True friendship doesn't stop there. You know, we live in a day and age where people, as we would say the old phrase, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, and if somebody sort of falls behind and can't keep up, for many people in the world, they're left back on the off the side of the road, and the others just press on. But you know, a true friend doesn't do that to a friend. Though he may become successful with a friend that sort of has fallen by the wayside economically or in the status of life, he doesn't leave that friend. He doesn't mingle with the new crowd and forget his old friend. He maintains that a friend loveth at all times. What about prosperity? You know, as you begin to prosper in life, be it economically or just positionally in life, your status of life, you're working your way up the ladder and your friend doesn't. You know, don't stop being a friend to those who don't climb as high as you. What about dishonor? You think about dishonor. You know, some people whose lives and reputations have been fallen into disarray or dishonor, you know, sometimes that happens and they really don't deserve it. Maybe somebody has falsely accused them. Maybe somebody has misunderstood them. You know, so often in today's society, people are willing to jump ship at the first moment of a thought that perhaps that person has somehow been dishonored, and boy, they don't want to be associated with him anymore. But you know, a true friend doesn't stop there. Excuse me. Be it deserved or undeserved, you know, though that person loses their honor in life and reproach is brought upon their name or their family's name, a true friend doesn't stop being that person's friend. That doesn't mean you'll condone some wrong in his or her life, but you will not cease to be their friend. Somebody declines, in other words, and they sort of go the wrong way. They backslide spiritually. They begin to change their views, their opinions. You know, just because they do that, a true friend doesn't give up on them. A true friend doesn't abandon them. But you know, often today, in our today's society, many of the things I've just now described are things that cause people, quote unquote, to say, well, we're not friends anymore. You know, if you ever hear somebody say, well, we're not friends anymore, you know, mark it down, you never were his friend. You never were. If you ever think you've stopped being somebody's friend, you never were their friend to begin with. You know, saying I'm somebody's friend, that's easy to say. But the proof's in the pudding. A true friend, a friend loveth at all times. Not some times, not most of the times, but at all times. I ask you this morning, are you a friend that loves at all times? Do you have any? Thank God for them. More importantly, are you? Are you this morning who's listening right now, are you a friend that loves at all time, or have you abandoned some of those quote-unquote friends that you've had? May God help you to have discernment and wisdom. Apply this truth. May God help you to be, may God help me to be a friend that loveth at all times. I thank you for listening, and you have a great day.